Jesus told the Samaritan woman how God was to be worshipped in John 4, 23 and 4. John 4, 23 and verses 24. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The hour's coming, and now is. Now is the time. We must worship in spirit and in truth. There's a little word there. Four-letter word. Must. You must worship God in spirit and truth. You're not given a choice. It is His way or no way. But we must be careful that our worship doesn't become as the scribes and the Pharisees that Jesus was talking about in Matthew 23 and verses 23 and 4 that was read in our scripture reading this morning. They were more concerned about following the letter of the law and not the meaning. And we have to be careful that we don't become like that. I think Marx put it well that we have tend to get this frame of mind that I got a checklist. I attended services. I prayed. I gave my money. I partook of the Lord's Supper. I sang songs. I'm good for the week. We got to be careful of that. So my lesson this morning, we're going to look at some things that will hopefully help us to see what our worship to God should be. And that brings me to the title of my lesson this morning, Serving God 101. 101, basic class. And this is what we need to make sure that we do, that we don't become like these Pharisees. One of the most important, first basic things that we must see is that we have a deep need for God in our life. There is born within us this need. If you look throughout time, man has always wanted to serve something, has seen that something was greater than them. And we need to see that need, and we need to worship God in spirit and in truth. And we must seek Him with all determination and diligence. If you turn over to Jeremiah chapter 29, and we'll look at verse 13. In Jeremiah 13, 29, and verse 13 reads there, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Determination. God there was saying, you will find me when you do it with all your heart. Hebrews 11, 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. We know that it says there, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. There has to be a belief, and there has to be a diligent seeking of Him in this. So, we've seen that we need to worship Him in spirit and truth. We see that it's our deep need that we have for God, so forth. I'd like to ask a question, two questions. Why can't we see this deep need? And how can something so important be so hard to recognize? Well, and we're going to take a look at a few things that I think bring us down, prevent us from seeing those things. And one problem is distractions. And that is a big thing for me. I am very easily distracted. Martha was distracted. In Luke 10, Luke chapter 10, we'll read verses 40 through 42. Luke 10, verse 40, "But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached Him," Jesus that is, "and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" Jesus said she was distracted. She thought taking care of the people, the crowd there at their house, was a necessity. But Jesus told her, "You're worried about the wrong things. Mary's got the right idea. I've got the words of life. You need to be listening to me. These people are going to be fine. They don't, if they're here to be fed and drink, that's not, they're not right. They need to be here listening to me," was his point. When you look at that. And Mary realized that. I need to listen to this guy. He's got something that's going to save me. Mean something to my life, at least. She didn't know at that point necessarily what it was. But she recognized that Jesus had something. So, distractions can keep us from what we really need to be doing. And when we allow our faith, because of delusions, to fail to see beyond the here and now. We're from Missouri. Show me. We need to remember Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Mm-hmm. Hebrews 11, verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." It's hard, I admit, to sit there. I can't grasp it. I can't put a hand on it. I can't taste it. I can't drink it. I can't feel it. But we got to have faith. What did it say in Hebrews? "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." We got to have faith. And that faith has got to be in things hoped for. We're hoping to have a home with God in heaven. Denial will hold us back as well. Psalms 14 and verse 1. In the book of Psalm 14, chapter and verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. We're not fools. We don't say there's not no God. But Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Hebrews 3 and verse 12 reads there, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. He calls these people brethren, and that says they can have an evil heart of unbelief and depart from the living God. They believed in God, but their belief is departing from them. They're not holding on to what they need to. Denial can bring us down. Denial of God and all His Word and what all it means, not just part of it, but all of it. A lack of love might be another. And that could be for God and our fellow man. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. I need to love you as Jesus loved me. He gave His life for me. I need to love God. He sent His only begotten Son to this world. He died on a cross for me. He created this world for me. Put me over it. I have mentioned these things before in that respect. We need to realize what we have, what God has done for us, the love that He really has had. Did He throw us out here and say, here it is, go at it? He gave us His Word. He sent His Son to teach His apostles, gave the Holy Spirit to lead them after His Son was gone, to give us everything, as the Scripture says, that is needed to get through life. It's there for you. All you got to do is read it. But we got to have a love like the one found in Psalms 42. Psalms 42, and we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before you? That's not a question of fear. That's a question of hope. That's a question of what's the word I want here? Desire. That's what it is. Desire. He had such desire that he wanted to be there with God. He had a love for God. And we have to have that love. Not only for God, but for us as well. James says, how can you say, I think it's James, I always get James and John mixed up. How can you say you love God when you don't love your brother? God you don't even have before you, and you believe in Him and love Him, but you got your brother right here in front of you and you can't love him? Another point that can keep us from seeing what we need to be seeing is maybe we've been blind, like those of Laodicea in Revelations 3. In Laodicea, he wrote to them, the church there in Revelation chapter 3, in verses 17 and 18, we're going to look at. And he said to them, "Because you say, 'I am rich, I have become wealthy, and I have need of nothing,' and you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiments, that you may be clothed, that the shameless of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see." You know, we've been studying Proverbs Wednesday nights, and we a lot of times it's been in there talking about gold, and Mark's brought out that it's not gold, physical gold. Gold is God's word. It's what's precious. It's what can bring you life. It can get you the raiment that you'll be clothed. It's not that you're going to be clothed, that you're physically naked. You're naked because you don't know what God's word is and that you're lost. Your eyes are closed and you need to open them. And when I say you, it means me too. Not any one particular person I'm speaking of. It is us as a people. We have a tendency to be this way. What can help us conquer these issues? Prayer. Prayer is our go-to for about everything, should be. And we can see that in James 1:5, that it can help us, especially with this situation. James 1 and verse 5. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." If we don't have the wisdom to see that God is what we need in our lives and that we need him 100% and so forth, we need to be praying about it so that we can get that wisdom. Studying goes without question is what we need in our lives. 2 Peter 3:18, we are told there to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did that sound like a suggestion? Peter isn't giving you a suggestion. We must grow in knowledge. How do you get knowledge? By sitting back and doing nothing? Just hold this book up to your head and think it's going to absorb into you? Sometimes I think I feel that way. I think that way or something. Second Timothy 2:15. The King James Version says, "Study to show yourself approved, that the man of God may be approved, rightly dividing the word of God." And the New King James says, "Rightly dividing the word of God too." How do you rightly divide something? Can you do it if you don't have knowledge of it? What does that mean then? You must study. You've got to pick up your Bible. This is God's word, not mine, and study it. Another thing that can help us is exhorting one another. We need to love one another, And that would include exhorting one another. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin will deceive us, blind us, come into this denial of that God and what His Word means, and we can be lost. But we need to exhort one another daily. I can't do this on my own. I am way too weak. Our worship to God must be done with a passion and priority greater than anything we may pursue. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God. I used to kind of have a little problem that thinking that seeking first meant that's all I could seek. I couldn't seek nothing else. But what does it say? It says, seek first the kingdom of God. It has to be my priority, not the only thing I seek. Because what are we told? We're told that we have to work. We have to take care of ourselves and our families and other things. But it must be our priority. It has to be our passion, is putting God in our life first. And we also need the courage to make the pursuit of God our single purpose. Excuse me. James 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. The double-mindedness shows us that's not a single purpose in your life, but it needs to be. So we need to draw near to God to make sure we have that single pursuit of God in our mind. Read Jesus' answer to the scribe that asked the questions of Him in Mark 12. If you turn over to Mark 12, we're going to look at verse 30. Mark 12 and verse 30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. That's the singleness we need. We've got to come to that point. In conclusion, we need to recognize God's word was given to us for obedience, not for idle speculation on our part, such as, well, I think God would like, or God wouldn't mind, or God meant one thing or another. That doesn't come to play. He gave it to us for obedience. It's not to be changed. We need to remember what Jesus said in John 14 and verse 15. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. He didn't say change them to fit what you want. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He didn't say you could change them, but we can change ourselves. And in the words of Michael Jackson, make the change. The lesson's yours this morning. If there's things that are missed in your life, that we haven't been pursuing God as we need to make them right. And if you haven't accepted God as your Savior, you have an opportunity to do so at this time. We would offer that as we stand and we sing the song, you can come forward and make things right at this time.